Guida Brown, former executive director of the Hope Council, Dr. Steve Brown, retired professor of educational leadership and school law, Dr. Karen Sconsert, chair of the education department and associate professor at Carthage College, Dr. Jonathan Shaler, professor of communications at UW-Parkside, and Stephanie Skilba, vice president for community and government relations at Gateway Technical College. And now, here's today's moderator for Education Matters.
Good morning. Welcome to today's edition of WGTD's Education Matters. I'm Guida Brown, one of the program's rotating hosts. My guest today is artist Mahone Mosley, and we'll be discussing all sorts of things with Miss Artis here. Artis is the parent-teacher liaison at Lincoln Middle School. She is also the 2023 Lifetime Achievement Award winner of the Susan B. Anthony Women of Influence Awards, which that dinner takes place on March 23rd. So let's start with your job, Artis.
Okay.
Tell us about it. Tell us how long you've been there, how you got there. Tell us all of that stuff.
Okay. So I've been there 20 plus years, and I got there being working for the Boys and Girls Club when I first came back to Kenosha some 20-something years ago. And there was an opening, and the principal wanted me to take that position, and I did. And it's been the best decision I've made in terms of occupation, if you will, because it puts me all out into the community. So I'm just not there for education in terms of the children, but for the families, the community, and just a brilliant start for so many young lives that hopefully I've touched and made a positive impact.
So 20-some years ago, how many?
Well, my mom's been dead 20 years, so I came home to take care of Mom.
Okay.
And when I came home, that's when I took on the position with Boys and Girls Club.
Okay, Mom being Mary Lou Mahone.
Yes.
Of which the Mahone School is named after.
Yes.
Yeah. So my math skills are abysmal, as I say on this show every time I do.
Well, don't feel bad.
So 20 years, I mean, that you've seen a lot of changes, right? That's really what I was talking to somebody. We were talking about Lincoln Junior High School,
yes,
and how Lincoln Junior High School had a pretty bad rap back in the
70s. Yes, it did.
And this person said, how is it still around? So how is it still around? What's going on there now that's, you know?
I can't just start with now. I have to go back a couple some years, because there were a lot of people who put their hearts and their lives into turning what people thought was a bad situation into a great situation. And I and some of those folks take offense at the fact that Lincoln always had a bad rap. Mm-hmm. You know, the neighborhood had a bad rap, so therefore the school and the people that lived in the neighborhood. I grew up in Lincoln neighborhood as a child, and it was a great place. And during the time of middle school, it became better from my insight, and I had fun doing what I was doing. I looked forward to waking up every morning, going to work. At that time, it was Antoinette Tollfree, Dennis Bedford, Jim Smith, Willie Hamilton, who is now a retired police officer. There are so many people that had a great role to play in making sure that Lincoln was safe. Because that's all I heard, that it was an unsafe place to send your children. And that was a crock. That was totally a crock. Because we came in on a mission. And that was to make sure that our children received a great education and could do it in a safe place. So not only did it open up the school, it opened up the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had Catherine Marks, who was an alderwoman for that area. It's a great place. It was a great place then. It's gotten better. And I enjoy being there.
So why has it gotten better? I mean, obviously, there was a lot of effort on the people you named.
Mm-hmm.
So looking at it in 2023, what's the best thing about it today?
That it's still standing.
Okay.
That Kenosha Unified School District has decided not to close it down just because of what people say.
Okay.
It's a school that is needed in that area. You know, and this day and age that we live in, they want to bus children out here. They want to close the school. They want to reassign the staff to places that they don't even want to go because they're comfortable. It's a great neighborhood. And with the involvement of the police force and all the community members, Lincoln is a good place to be.
Okay.
We have great staff. We've had, I can't tell you how many great people have come and gone through that school, and great educators. So now we're involved with Jockey, but I can talk about that later, but it's just a great place to be. And yes, of course, just like anything else, you have to stay on top of it. You can't assume when you go home at night that something won't happen, and it will happen. But if you don't get on top of it right away and deal with it, you're supposed to have something ugly come out of it.
So I have a new theory of society that, particularly because of COVID, mm-hmm. I think that individually and collectively, so individually, you know, every single person, I mean, and I'm exaggerating, of course, but, and then collectively, our organizations, our schools, our businesses, I think that we have abdicated our responsibility to one another and we have torn up the social contract. And I think that COVID, I mean, we've already been on a slippery slope. I think that COVID really sort of, you know, lit the fire and burned all of those social contracts. And I'm frustrated by that because one of the places that social contracts should be in play 100% of the time is in education, in schools. And so when you talk about, yeah, things are going to happen, we get that. But then there was always an accountability at school. Or you talked about busing, that now we want to bus everybody everywhere. And I feel like there's a local school, and I'm sure all of them do this. I just, there's only one I go by, mm-hmm. where the parents are parked to pick up their kids and blocking traffic. And I think, why don't kids walk home anymore? What is the deal?
I don't know where that comes from because we always walked to school, whether it was butt-high snow or torrential rains. There was this element of you walked with your friends. And I think so many parents in society, they're afraid, oh, well, there's these gangs and what have you. You spoke of COVID. Okay, well, when COVID hit, we as a nation became afraid of the reality. And I've always been mindset that you knew COVID was coming, so why weren't we prepared for it? And being prepared for something that you know already is coming about makes it easier for you to absorb whatever has to come out of it. So, you know, here we are, another country in this world, totally afraid, but we weren't prepared for it, but we knew it was here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so when my kids, and I call them all my kids because they've been through there, their fears were real because the information that was given to we as adults was not translated correctly to our children. And until we start translating real conversations to our children, stop lying to our kids. Our kids have been lied to enough to make we as adults look like idiots.
Well, yeah. We treat kids like they are mushrooms,
yes.
Right? We lie to them. We tell them stories. Sometimes it's to protect them, we mm-hmm. think. Other times it's just because of our own ignorance.
Yes.
But kids aren't stupid.
Well, it's like you tell the children these stories about Goldilocks and the Three Bears. And what world is there a Goldilocks and the Three Bears? You know, I mean,
we have to update our fairy tales.
Yeah, you know, so, you know, I just believe that when you sit kids down, you talk to them as if they're going to be adults one day. And in order to become an adult, it takes time, but it also takes the measures that say, okay, tomorrow is Friday, not Sunday. And on Friday, we're going to do X, Y, and Z. And we have to be real. I think because things have changed in society, we're not being real.
Well, and I think I like to think we're the same person to some degree.
Right.
I think we've lost that sense of accountability then, too.
I agree.
And so when you say, you know, tomorrow's Friday, it's not Sunday, that means you show up at school.
That's
that means
right.
you show up at your job. That means, and then when you don't do those things, mm-hmm. there is a system in place that holds you accountable.
We have conversations at school, and it's about accountability. But when are we going to start holding the parents accountable mm-hmm. for their particular actions, which the kids are mimicking mm-hmm. in their own way? So if it's okay for mom to do it, it should be okay for mom's child to do it? No. So you have to hold mom accountable yeah. for what happens, and then you hold the children accountable, and you don't wait till they become middle school students. You deal with that at a young age, you know, and so you have to, the reality is there as well in terms of how you raise your kids.
That's, my husband, David McGrath of WGTD, we always have this conversation where I'll say, they're not like us. Like, you know, why do people do X, Y? Because they're not like us. And I don't mean, it's just a different world. And again, I think mm-hmm. that there's this social contract that you and I were raised under, this expectation that
yes.
you do what you are supposed to do for your society, for
That's
the
right.
other people. And we have lost that.
The social contract you talk about is something that happened in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
we've allowed it to be in the past. And taking that away takes away accountability.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because we knew, just for example, in a family of 7 children, you knew that after you ate, you had to clean off the table, you had to wash the dishes, you knew you had to take the garbage out, you knew you had to do X, Y, and Z. And there was no, Ma, get your behind in there and do what you have to do. And I don't want to hear it.
So where are you in the birth order?
I'm the oldest.
Oh, are you? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. And so talk about that. Talk about growing up in your family and with your parents, Arthur and Mary Lou Mahone. And
oh, God. I had the best parents in the world. Their death has still taken a toll on all of us because they were such magnets in our growth, whether it was past growth or future growth. Being the oldest at times, well, you know what comes with being the oldest. You have to take the licks for the younger ones, and then you keep on moving. There are 2 boys, and I'm sorry, there's 2 girls and 5 boys.
Oh, I was going to say, well, no wonder.
Where are they at, right?
No wonder Tim's so spoiled.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Tim and all the rest of the boys are spoiled.
Yeah,
they are spoiled.
I was like, wow, okay.
But, yeah, all the boys were athletes, and my sister's an athlete. I was the only one that was like the babysitter, the cook, but I was just as rotten as they were, and I still am, you know. So it's great coming from a family where, you know, my dad worked 2 and 3 jobs at a time. Mom, did the same thing because she was such a, some folks would call her a social butterfly, but I think she was a social savior and workaholic, because so many things that are taking place in Kenosha are taking place because of my mother.
Amen.
Okay. And my father as well, but he was in the background.
Right, right. He was working 3 jobs
right.
and giving your mom the opportunity to do those things.
Yeah.
Yep.
So,
yep.
You know, and then I was a teenage mom. I have 2 children, Sean and Jennifer, and they still love me. Okay, you know, here you are 14, 15 years old having babies, and your parents still love you. At the same time, they said, no, you will get your behind out here, get education. That's why I do what I do, because I know if I could do what I did and get education, everybody else can get one as well. I know that all my brothers and my sisters know about jobs, you know, and having a job and taking care of you and yours was very important because we saw our parents do it.
Mm-hmm.
And not only did they do that for their own children, they did it for the community. There were times I was sick and tired of seeing people come over our house because they were everybody else's kids.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what made us who we are today. You learn from other children that did not have what we had that, oh, you have to do this together and you have to give back of some of what you got. And to this day, that's what we do, you know?
I am a Facebook friend of a neighbor, and she tells me that she used to come over to our house every morning and eat breakfast. And my mom would, like, you know, say, hey, how's it going?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And no one would look askance at her. I don't remember her doing that, but she's like, yeah, pretty much all the time I was at your house eating breakfast. And it's that, again, that sort of societal responsibility. So yesterday, you mentioned this about how you grew up and the aspect of education, how important mm-hmm. education was to your family. I watched Zora Neale Hurston.
Yes.
Did you watch it yet?
No.
Oh, it's so good. It was so good. And I love Zora Neale Hurston. She wrote Their Eyes Were Watching God. Absolutely one of my favorite books. She talked about, she grew up in municipality that was specifically for the black population. Mm-hmm. And she talked about not realizing she was different than other people. So, and then how she learned that. How did that happen for you?
Being a Mahone has, I don't know how to put it. The kids always show up, their parents show up. You were taught to say please and thank you. You were taught to share. You were taught to stand up for the underdog. If you came into our home, our backyard, you were taught that, whether you were a parent or a child. And I think we have carried that. I don't know about being different or not as a Mahone. All I know is about being a human being. My arrogance would be about, yeah, he's my brother, or he's my sister, yeah, that's my mom. But I don't take that too far, because everybody wants to be loved. Everybody wants to be recognized. Everybody wants to have someone put a kind touch to their back. You know, everybody, even when you do wrong, you need somebody to say, okay, now you should learn your lesson from this, and try to guide them in a different path. It's not easy, but it can be so much fun, because when you wake up in the morning, you know you did something right. And I don't know about, you know, the Zoras and say the Oprahs and what have. All I know about is the Mahone, and the Mahone coming from Mary Lou and Arthur. Great thing, because they taught you. And then I had my granny, Mary Lou Elder, and then my other granny, Boucha, Gertrude Glass. Then I had my uncles, Leroy and Chester. And we come from a very strong dynamic of folks that came from down south, came up to Waukegan, Kenosha. Our home was like a melting pot. There were values. See, when we were talking about that commitment, there were values. And with those values, they came from people who were born with those values. And whether or not they picked cotton or whether they cleaned a house, there were values. And people had to be treated like people. And so that's what we, as the children, the grandchildren, are still doing. There are values to some things. Every child should have an education, and that parents should be educated. Education should be free, whether you go to college or not. You should be able to get an education, because that education is going to allow you the opportunity to have those things that you see the lady across the street and the kid across the street, and make you work harder for the things that you want your family to have.
All right. Just a reminder, you're listening to Education Matters here on WGTD. My name is Guida Brown, and my guest today is artist Mahone Mosley. And we're discussing artist's life in Kenosha, her position at Lincoln Middle School, some other stuff. So you talked about education should be free.
Yes.
And I agree with you to a point. I think that certainly, I know Gateway Technical College has a great program where you can go and get your associate's degree and on a grant or something. I don't know the details of it. And I think that's great. But I also think, and I tell people this all the time, we need bank tellers, right? We need servers. We need people. And this push to get everybody a four-year degree, I think, is hampering individuals. I think it's hampering our schools. We're graduating people who aren't educated. And that was literally a conversation that one of the former presidents of the UW system had said, we need to graduate more people. And I said, no. You need to educate more people.
I think that's a key word, as you're saying, Guida, is educate, because I'm in the middle school and I see some of the babies and I said, you can't even read or count.
Right.
Okay. And as you say, bank tellers. But if you notice, when you go into a bank, they're no longer there, the tellers. Okay.
Yeah, we are automating.
They want you to go through the drive-through.
They're always there.
You know, and so they want you to be that way. But at the same token, my father worked here. And we were also proud of him because he was pulling up men and women by their bootstraps to teach them welding so they would have a job.
Yes.
Now, whether or not that education was free, what was free was the opportunity for them to be able to graduate and go get a job, where before they couldn't. And it was because of Gateway.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And so I think when I say free, I understand some of those levels of education cost a little more. My oldest grandson is in his last year of dental school. It's costing. But it shouldn't have been so hard for him to do part of his first 4 years and have to pay an astronomical fee for something that he's qualified to do.
And you're right.
Okay. And that he wants to do.
Mm-hmm.
See, the key about education, we have to make education so our children want to go into those fields.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Whether you're a welder, a bank teller, a clerk in the grocery store, what have you. I look at the gentleman, the lawn person for my home. Oh, I'm so proud of him because he took it upon himself to learn how to do what he has to do. And to get
can we get his name? Because our lawn looks terrible.
Oh, this guy is so good. Oh, he's so good. And then he does the snow as well. But he took it upon himself, you know,
mm-hmm.
and the necessity for he and his family to survive. So we as a society, I think, need to start educating, if you will, the population about what jobs are out here and what you have to do to obtain them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. That ends up being the issue. Education is so important, but we're putting the emphasis on the wrong thing
mm-hmm.
too often. We're putting the emphasis on graduating with a degree.
And you're not ready for a degree because you can't read, write, or count.
Right.
You know, and I agree with you 100%. Educating. I mean, why would you allow a child to graduate and they're not ready for what's out here? That is, I see students, when we do the Mahone Fund, and some of the students are turning their applications, and I'm like, are you serious?
Yeah, so talk about the Mahone Fund. Talk about what you guys are doing there with the scholarships.
Okay.
And
when Mom died, some of her friends got together and put together the Mary Lou Mahone Fund, which is about scholarships. So the students apply for a scholarship, and we've been doing that 20-plus years. And what it has taught us is that we have enough students. They're minority students, but what we found out that in the school system is that our students of color are not being allowed the same opportunities to apply. Why? Because they weren't informed. So how do you not, you know, I've got a C. Because you have a C average means that you're not smart enough to go to college. That is so unfair. You can go to college with a C.
Well,
you just have to work harder.
Is what's happening, is it because I have a C or is it because the color of my skin is different?
Both.
Because I would assume that other kids are being told. I was an invisible child. And
you?
I was a good child, yeah.
You?
Yeah, I was, I know. But so nobody ever talked
nobody
to me.
Believes yeah. that.
Nobody. I was the baby of seven live births. And so when I was in high school, no one ever talked to me about college. Mm-hmm. No one ever talked about like mm-hmm. whatever I did because I wasn't a problem child, so I didn't get to see a guidance counselor. Okay. And we didn't have career counselors or anything else. We just had, you know, when you're in trouble you go to the counselor, mm-hmm. when you're not you stay away from that office.
But if you were an A student, you got to see the counselor. The counselor would come. I have, when I was in high school, all the white kids got to see the counselor that had good grades. Mm-hmm. Okay, because I didn't have A's and B's. No one explained to me about, well, artists, you can go to school and blah, blah, blah. My parents taught me that. Not the counselors, not people who were being paid to tell me that. And see that same that same pattern.
It's continuing today.
It sure is. And so with the Mahone Fund, you know, we're working in the schools. We're working with the principals. And so we're very, very, very fortunate that, you know, KUSD is saying, oh, no, we will not allow this to happen. The doors are open. We go and talk to the students. We have seminars. And it's a good thing. But we also have to go through those scholarships to see which of the students is being honest about what they have, you know, what they submit on their application. Are you really, you have to do your social work itself. And I, you know, we've gotten more than 300 kids to graduate from because of the Mahone Fund.
That's
and the
amazing.
Scholarships. And these children, some of them, we had to pull them back up and say, come here, you're not doing what you need to do. Well, either mm-hmm. you do what you have to do, or you know what's going to happen. And when they realize that they're getting ready to lose an opportunity of a lifetime, they do what they have to
do. Yeah, I would imagine when they've gotten as far as they have mm-hmm. getting that opportunity, mm-hmm. that was something of value to them.
Right.
I know I've been to a few of the Reaching for Rainbows events. And
yes.
I love seeing the kids who... I remember one. You probably remember him. You probably know his name. His goal was, I'm going to go to Gateway and become a welder so I can take care of my baby. And I was like, you know what?
That was 2 years ago.
That's what I want to mm-hmm. see, right? I don't want to see, I've got a you know, C- average and I want to go be a lawyer. You can. And I'm not.
Right.
Did terrible as an undergrad. I had a C average on my best time. But lots of other things going on. So, yes, can you do it? Absolutely. At 18, how hard that's going to be?
Probably
you
not.
Just don't realize it.
Mm-mm.
And I think that's another one of these things that I fear we are not preparing our children for real life.
It's the realities.
Yeah, yeah.
If you can have a baby when society realizes that you have given birth or are part of giving birth to a child, they should also take you in and tell you, well, let me tell you something else that you missed the boat on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because there are other avenues that you have missed the boat on. It's not just having a child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you tell children don't be sexually active, what kind of craziness is that? You know, I mean, how do you tell a human being not to be sexually active? When you've got all these hormones going all over the world. Come on now. I talk about reality for kids.
And that's what you started with. We, mm-hmm. we are not teaching them the reality.
We're not giving them the truth.
No. So talk more about racism. Racism in the schools, racism in your life. How are we doing now in 2023 compared to how we were when you were growing up?
Well, how are we doing now? Well, you've got the Floyds of the world. You've got all these different people that were killed. And then you've got incidents with... I wouldn't know how we're doing. I can't say how we're doing. I can say we're still not doing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
You know, we can say, oh, we're doing well because we have a lot of children that are of mixed heritage.
Mm-hmm.
But back during the day when we were doing United States history, it was called rape because the slave owners were raping the women.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because of all the hard work that's been put into everything that we're doing, we're really allowing generations to see. there's nothing wrong with me because I'm a shade darker than you, or my hair is curlier than you, or I speak different than you. I just have different things that I do, and it's as much fun as what you do. Come on over and join me. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's
all it
really
is,
has to be much. We have to be so much more educated on that. There's a Netflix show called Dairy Girls that's mm-hmm. set during the Troubles in Ireland, Northern Ireland. And it's exactly that. It's the years of the Protestants and the Catholics hating each other
yes.
because of religion and them trying to figure out, you know, they're not a whole lot different than we are.
Actually, you know, and it's not really, as you say, not a whole lot different. They're not different at all. Because when you talk about heaven and hell, it's heaven and hell, plain and simple. It's cut and dry. You know, the kids that I see every day, if we talk the real talk with them, it'll be a better world a lot sooner than what we think. But then we've got a bunch of people our age that are stopping them and lying to them about who they are and what. If they would look back in their history, they'll find out that their great 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 grandfather, six times removed, was a slave. Mm-hmm. So how are you going to hide that? How are you going to hide when one of your babies comes out with curly hair?
Oh yeah, that's,
you know.
I have this conversation around addiction. Quit keeping the secret of a disease in your family a secret.
Thank you.
How do you expect to raise the next generation mm-hmm. when you don't tell them? You know, that's the one thing we don't talk about. We don't talk about addiction, but we talk about, you know, diabetes and heart disease and
yes.
cancer. But,
yes.
oh, you know, I do assessments and I say, you know, tell me about your family. Does anyone have a problem? Well, my mom doesn't drink at all. Oh, why? I don't know. Okay. My guess is because somebody in the previous generation drank too much.
Too much.
And
yes.
But they don't talk about it. And then it's not like
Well, they say it. Don't put our business in the street.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's where when you hide the truth. When you start hiding the truth, then that's when you have your real issues.
Well, because we're not equipping our kids mm-hmm. to take care of themselves.
Well, we're not equipping ourselves.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, and I mean, and I look back at some things, like when it comes to computers, like, oh God. You know, let me just kind of roll my chair back and kind of sneak out the room because we're not equipping ourselves with the right things that we need to be successful or just get better at it, you know. And when you are afraid to ask a question because you feel like you're being put down, you know, it's like with my kids. I have to ask the questions that you don't want me to ask, but I need for you to be honest so I can help you.
So being a Mahone,
mm-hmm.
did that help you or hurt you in coming up? In Kenosha specifically? I mean, you said you had a great family, whatever,
mm-hmm.
but given...
We had issues,
yeah.
and we still have issues. Okay, Being a Mahone was just that, being a Mahone. That means you'd get your butt kicked when you got home if you were out of order, and then you got the praise if you did what you were supposed to do. It meant that you had to give back to the community. That was the expectation. You did not walk around here thinking that your stuff did not stink. You know, you didn't put people down because they weren't capable or able to live like we lived. I mean, we remember so many times when Mommy had to work and Dad had to work. And my dad would come home just dog tired, okay? And Mom, bless her heart, she'd be dog tired too because she'd have to be downtown at City Hall arguing with some crazy people about something that should have just been what it's supposed to be, and that's feeding people and housing people, you know? So.
And that's what I mean for you. I mean, there is an expectation for artists, right?
Not anymore.
Oh, baloney.
No, because see, I'm at the age where I say, I don't care.
Nobody cares that you don't care.
Well, I don't care either.
We don't care that you don't care, artists.
I know this. Well, we know you and I know that. Okay, you and I know.
And that's it.
But
I
it's
mean,
true.
That's the expectation, right? Yep. When you see your mom's name on your parents' name, mm-hmm. on anything, on a billboard,
right.
on a school, on anything,
yep.
you're like, oh, shoot. Like, that is a higher bar.
It's a very higher bar. You have to, the reality of it is, you know what you got to do. Okay, and a lot of times you don't want to. Okay.
Exactly.
And see, that's the reality of it. You don't want to.
Right.
Get up. I don't want to do this function. Okay. You know, I mean, it's like when I got this award.
And so
like,
that's exactly what I was, that's where
like,
I was going. Yes.
I was like, y'all crazy.
Yeah. the award being the Lifetime Achievement Award for the Susan B. Anthony Women of Influence.
And I was like, why?
Yeah, because, so why?
Because I don't look at awards.
No.
All right? I look at...
That's why you deserve
it. I don't know how to be humble enough. I mean, it's just like, you know, I do what I do because it's the right thing to do.
I know.
Okay? And I don't think I could live my life to whatever time I'm left on earth without doing what I need to do. When I was ill a couple, 2 or 3 weeks ago, and everybody saying, you don't need to go back to work right away. I'm like, I need to get to work. I'm so sick of this house. I'm so sick of people calling, what do you need, baby? I'll help you. I need to get back to my kids. Mm-hmm. And if it weren't for my brother Tim and my brother Malcolm and daughter Jennifer, because they were within the close proximity, constantly telling me, you know, hey, sis, hey, mom, you need to sit your butt down somewhere and just take it easy for a while, which I've done. I've never been this slow, if you will. Never been this slow. Even when I gave birth to children, I just, when I get to work, there are artists, okay, you take it easy, this, that, and the other. I'm like, shut up talking to me because I want to be involved.
Well, yeah, because the kids don't understand, you know? They don't.
Nope.
And I don't. They just don't have that concept. Mm-hmm. I know even like our grandkids are like, if you don't have a good day, they're like, what do you mean? What do you mean you're not having a good day? What do you mean your bones hurt? What do you mean? You know, like, they don't care. They don't
get it. Well, they say to you saying what? To say what?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, when you call, I was late coming to this interview, everybody. And I
never would have outed you.
That's okay. I outed me. I want everybody to know I was late. And I'm never late to appointments. That's just one of the things I take pride in. But I was in school working, you know, and when I can help a kid, when I can help that child have a good day at school, and like yesterday I had a young lady that had an issue, and when she walked on my office, she was great. When I saw her this morning, she, hey, Miss Artis, walked up, gave me a big old hug. Do you know what that means?
I can imagine.
And all the hugs I've gotten over these 20-something years, and thank you. I had a young lady at the grocery store yesterday. Hey, Miss Artis, how you doing, Miss Artis?
So that's what I was going to talk about. How many of these kids recognize you? And we talk about resilience and how important resilience is. And that resilience comes from that one adult who gives you unconditional love and positive regard. Unconditional positive regard.
Yeah.
You're that person. And I've had this conversation with people where I say, you know, they say, I can't be that person. I don't have the wherewithal. I don't know how to be that person. I'm like, oh, sorry, too bad. You're that person. You are that person. And you are that person that in these kids' lives, they're going to see you. They're going to remember you. You are the one. So it doesn't matter what's going on in their households. It doesn't matter if they're only in school for 3 years or none of that matters anymore. You're that person. And how many thousands of students, of your kids, have gone through Lincoln and you've become that person for them? For me, it was my orchestra teacher. It was Mr. Smith, Bob Smith at McKinley and then McKinley. He was my person. I love my mother dearly. She was working a lot. Mm-hmm. My father suffered from alcoholism. Mr. Smith was my person.
Mm-hmm.
Unconditional positive regard, day in and day out. Not that I didn't do things he had to chastise me for.
Right, right.
But he was the person I always knew had my back. You're that person.
Well, I don't know about all the time. because my kids know Miss Artis will chew you a new butt.
Mm-hmm. But it's still unconditional positive regard.
No, it's not. Now, see, I won't accept that because I had some kids the other day that high school kids had been in some trouble, real trouble. And they were talking to some adults in the building. And they waved at me, and I just flipped them off, you know. Came back around and asked them, what you doing here? Hey, Miss Artis, I wanted to give me a hug. Step off me. Get off of me. Then I said, how are you? Oh, we're fine. I said, you're lying. You're lying. Okay.
Okay.
You're not going to sit there and lie to me.
And you are the person who went over to them, had that conversation with them, held them accountable in a way that other people have not.
But see, I tell kids I'm not afraid of you.
I know.
Okay. I mean, that's just it. You know, when I meet a child, I have to tell them I used to be you and understand that. And you stink. And I stunk. But we can make this work.
We. See,
yeah.
Artists,
okay,
you know
okay,
what?
Okay. See, Guida, I knew
nice
I shouldn't try. Have came here.
Nice
I
try.
Should have kept myself at school.
So, no, I love this. But it is amazing to me that you are that person, that you have that ability. And so I think that I know getting the Susan B. Anthony Lifetime Achievement Award is, it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
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 And yet I know how absolutely deserving you are of that because
well, thank you.
You have been that person for so many people.
But I never thought of what I did.
I know, because you did what you were supposed to do.
It was the right thing to do. And it's going to be until I take that last breath, it'll be the continuous right thing to do. And it's not for you or anybody else because I don't do it for
I know.
You know, I do it because when you look into kids' faces and you see their eyes and you see the tears and then when they hug you and then though when you see their parents and they're not being honest and you have to get on them about look here. Well I need no you don't need your baby needs, you know, and to get out I've left my house many a night, 11, 12 o'clock at night, you know, because the phone would ring and it'd be so and so and okay, I'm on my way. To know that I stopped them from making a poor choice that not only would affect them, but their family and in the community. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. Definitely. And then when I see my babies walk across the stage, I don't know how many of these kids have walked across the stage that were my babies and they got a Mahone scholarship and then they graduate and then I see them in the stores and stuff. It'd be like, okie dokie, Mom. Okie dokie. I get it.
The one person I always think of, Jada Robinson.
Oh, Jada.
Is she not the coolest kid in the world? And Atifa's her mother, Atifa Robinson.
Of course,
fantastic,
yes.
But Jada is the coolest kid.
Yes, she is. Yes, she is.
And I think about, I have shivers because I think about the impact you have had on people's lives and that those kids are walking across the stage. Artists, if not for you, what would our society, what would our community look like? I mean, hand to God, I'm not blowing smoke. If not for you, how much poorer would our community be? You personally, artist Mahone Mosley.
I can't answer that.
But there's an impact there, right?
It's an impact, but I don't know how to put, you know how you say, 200 million pounds or $50,000 million or something. I don't know how to weigh that. How I can weigh it, though, is the fact that when I see my kids and I see the smile and I can see that they are happy with themselves, happier than what they were than when I first met them.
Yep. Well, and I talk about the difference between surviving and thriving, right?
Yes.
We don't want people in our community who just survive.
Survive, right.
We want people who thrive, who are going to make a difference and, be happy with their lives. So now I have to wrap it up. I want to thank my guest, artist Mahone Mosley, for joining us today. For WGTD's Education Matters, I'm Guida Brown.
You've been listening to Education Matters, heard Saturday mornings at 10:30 here on WGTD. Archive programs are available on our website at WGTD.org.
This is WGTD HD, serving Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that explores and highlights various local issues and organizations. It's hosted by Len Iaquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, Jane Herring, a former marketing manager at Gateway Technical College, and Jenny Tunkies, former reporter for the Kenosha News and a former chief of staff for the Kenosha County Executive. Community Matters shares its time slot with the WGTD Radio Theater. And now, here's today's program.
This is Len Iaquinta for Community Matters, and our guest today is Barbara Bratton, Director of the Kenosha Public Library and Director of the Kenosha County Library System. And we're going to learn what's going on in the libraries in Kenosha and Kenosha County. Welcome, Barbara Bratton.
Thank you, Len.
It's great to have you with us on Community Matters today. Now, I've read in the papers that there's going to be a new children's library that's going to be a part of the public library system for the city of Kenosha. I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about that, where it's going to be, when you expect it might open,